Beyond Governance, Making Sense of Doing Business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Hello to everyone and thanks for tuning in. This is Beyond Governance show at 1.9 High FM. And my name is Nimrod Mbene. As always, I am pleased to share this space and time with you as we celebrate Youth Month. If your proverbial glass is half full, then indeed we can and should celebrate small things happening in our lives as opposed to languishing in what could have or should have. This state of mind does not mean we cannot strive for perfection or greatness, which, by the way, is always a moving target. My point is, let us celebrate Youth Month, notwithstanding the social and economic challenges facing youth today. Winter is certainly upon us, as it is freezing, especially in the morning and late at night. Once again, I'm appealing to you, the beloved listener of the show, to spare a moment, reach out to the needy. Let's make a difference in someone's life by donating food parcels, clothes, blankets, as these items certainly make a difference to those who are in need. In this show, we pride ourselves in bringing you, the beloved listener, thought leaders who shape the popular and sometimes unpopular economic and social narrative in this country. To balance the scale, however, we also bring the beneficiaries' experiences and perspectives on government policy and programs on critical economic, such as mining, agriculture, and information technology. All these domains are part of the transformation agenda, which is inherently a business and not a compliance imperative, as it sometimes dubbed. If you miss any of our previous show, not to worry, simply visit our website, which is www.highfm.com, and look for Beyond Governance and download the podcast and share your views with us through our SMS line or Telegram or even Twitter. SMS line is 34519. As we kick off the show, it is proper to acknowledge the technical producer, and his name is Vusi Masinga. Thank you for doing a stellar work, and I'm sure the station manager will certainly give you a bonus. And when she asked, tell her I said so. I'm just kidding. The point is, you don't have to tell her anything. She knows what needs to be done. And besides, she does the right thing all the time. In today's conversation, I'm joined by Alton Tabajani and Lisecha Lehodi. These are community activists who are concerned about disempowerment of the mining communities in the Sekhukhune and Muragalakwena region. Before we sink our teeth on this topic, which is on mining, I just want us to reflect on major issues which dominated the national discourse over the past week. We noted that Arthur Fraser laid charges of money laundering, kidnapping and corruption against the president, accusing him of breaching the Prevention of Organized Crime Act. Fraser also alleged that the president failed to report the breaking at his farmhouse in Limpopo, which took place, believe it or not, 2020. Instead, the president is allegedly to have paid off the suspects to buy their silence. As expected, these allegations became a tsunami in the public space. Every single person has something to say about these allegations. Here's my contribution. In my mind, there is a relationship between economic growth and political stability. The less stable the country is perceived to be, the more difficult it is to attract both domestic and international investment. The stability perceived or real, is the fundamental and critical ingredient for any investment. If you combine political instability and dysfunctional state-owned entities such as Eskom, amongst others, what do you think the rating agency's outlook will become? What do you think the rating agency will become? What everybody needs to appreciate, in my mind, and promote at all cost, is the application of the rule of law. The moment we apply this principle, the country will overcome the crippling impact of the state capture and a stern warning to those who are committing economic sabotage. Moving on, so let me take this opportunity to welcome my guest, Lisecha Lehodi, as well as Tabajani, who just might be delayed. However, these are community leaders that are concerned, as I've indicated earlier, about the disempowerment of the mining communities in the area of Sekhukhune district and a place called Muragalakwena region. Focal point is the extent to which the mining charter is being implemented, and it formed the basis for the Department of Mineral Resources issuing of mining permits to companies intending to mine or already mining in South Africa. If I may, I can quickly reflect on six elements of mining charter, which I'm hopeful that the colleague will touch on. It's about ownership, it's about procurement, it's about employment equity, it's about beneficiations, it's about human resource development, of course, community development. These requirements set forth in the charter are quite onerous. Be that as it may, these are something that needs to be done. But without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome my colleague here. Alisetsa, good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Good evening, Dr. Mbele, and to your listeners.
Alton, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mbele.
Give us a sense of which are the mining houses operating in the Kakule and Mpolakwe in our region, and what are the issues born out of the mining charter?
The company is Anglo American Platinum. The mine is Tukenam Mine. And in relation to the mining charter, well, they've got the project Alchemy underway, but we are not happy with the model itself. As the mining communities in Tukenam, we demand full participation and also accountability, transparency as far as the project Alchemy is concerned.
I personally could just go back and say there's a project that is underway and you are concerned about participation and inclusion of the community. Could you just give us a sense, what is the project all about?
It's not necessarily a project. It's just the name of the trust. It's called the Alchemy Project or Project Alchemy.
The name of the trust.
It's a community trust, yes. Remember, the mining charter gives directives that every mining house or mining operations should then establish a vehicle to ensure community beneficiation. In this case, the Anglo established a Project Alchemy for its communities. So as communities, we are not happy about the model to start with. And because now in each and every operation, they open a sub-trust. Those sub-trusts, we are not getting information as to where the money go into. What we see is them supporting or even building police stations or semi-police stations next to the mine area. So it doesn't assist communities in any way.
Perhaps maybe, let me just bring a researcher on this issue. What is your contribution in terms of what Elton pointed out? One is the issue of the establishment of a trust, which is meant to be a vehicle that would foster a beneficiation. What's your take on that?
I think our situation might differ a little bit in respect of, you know, the locality and the method of operation. We as a community doesn't necessarily deal with mining per se, but we are dealing with the smelting process. That's where, as a community, we have leased a piece of land to Anglo Platinum, whereby the land is about approximately 720 hectares of land. And on that piece of land, we are being remunerated monthly for the money to the tune of 4,300 rands, and of which, according to us, this is just, you know, it is a pure insult, and it is against human dignity and respect, in the sense that we take Anglo Platinum to be the giant, you know, within the mining sector. So by them having piece of land in our space, we thought it is of fundamental, you know, importance that should have reviewed that lease agreement, so that maybe by far, because we are talking about 20 years whereby Anglo Platinum was its operations within our land. Since then and until this far, we have not seen any change in respect of, you know, pertaining to the issue of the mining charter itself, in respect of the issue of employment. Our community has been sidelined for more than 20 years. In terms of employment, we don't get any recognition, we don't get anything from Anglo Platinum. In respect of community beneficiation, we are not even so sure as to whether they understand that they are operating within our land, or maybe they are doing it deliberately just, you know, to make us feel small and belittled. But however, we have tried to engage them on several times.
On that note, Natalie Shepard, could you just hold on a second, because I think you really bring up a very interesting point. We're going to have to pay a bill. We'll come back just in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, we haven't really moved a needle quite far. I'm joined by Elton Tubejani and Lisetsa Lekgodi. These are community leaders concern about disempowerment of mining communities in Sekhukhune district as well as Mogalakwena region. Before we took that small break, the colleagues were giving us insight around what they perceived as an insult in inverted commas. First, let me just go back to you, Lisetsa. You indicated to us that you have leased the 720 hectares to Anglo and you are being remunerated 420,000 per month. In your view, this is highly unacceptable. But first and foremost, at what point were you not aware of what would have been, put it this way, what was the initial agreement about the compensation per month? At what point did you realize that this was not in a good spirit?
Thank you. To start from the beginning, even though I'm going to cut the story short. When Anglo Platinum approached us, it was about 20 years ago, whereby we were led by our elders, actually, who facilitated the process. So, unfortunately, being given the history of our black society, we are always intimidated by smaller than things, whereby upon the signing of the contract, it was said that because our land by then was declared an agricultural land. But, however, they managed to establish this multi-million institution or a complex whereby it has been industrialized. By so saying, I mean, how can you industrialize a piece of land at the same time you want to argue that you will never pay us that amount in terms of, you know, the establishment value, but you seem to disregard the fact that we as a community had faith in you by entrusting you with our piece of land, knowing exactly that in the long run, because we have got a 99-year lease with Anglo Platinum, whereby the 4,300 monthly renter, we discussed it in several meetings that we need to review the contract and review this amount. However, you know, they've been, you know, taking us from pillar to post in the light that maybe they want to benefit. Then so far we have tried and we have exhausted all avenues in trying to talk to these guys. They seem to be adamant that they don't want to, you know, to change anything. We are not given preference in terms of business opportunities, actually, whereby non-local businesses are being given priority over us. We made a request to them to say that even if they give these guys, you know, these main contracts, but these guys, upon arrival, they should just, you know, lend us an ear by giving us maybe the joint venture things or subcontracts and stuff. But however, this didn't happen in a while. We have got a certain desk within Anglo Platinum, which is dealing specifically with social performance desk, which has failed us dismally so. They declare non-local businesses to be, you know, residing within our areas. They are just doing chaos. And we are fed up with these people because we have been trying to caution them to say, if you need to do things, do everything with us. Nothing about us without us. But they seem to be distant. They are doing everything the way they like, with disregard to the fact that they have been given a piece of land in our community or in our land, in our piece of land, which, according to us, it was inheritance from our forefathers. Remember, this land was given back to us by the land restitution program. It was taken back in the days by the apartheid regime, but given back to us through the land restitution process. We feel that since this happened to us, we have been taken back.
Earlier on, you know, you said to us that you are displeased with the trust formation or the arrangement of the trust, for the trust does not represent your interest. Can you just unpack it for us? What do you mean by that? Because that seems to be the starting point of your gripe.
I think on that issue, Elton has got more flesh to it. With our trust, with a trust which represents us, which is the mediator between the community and Anglo Platinum. With us, we don't see any problem. With the Rebuya Trust, everything is, you know, up and running, and we have got good management, we've got good leadership, then we are happy about that. It is only around Sikukune, where Elton is coming from, where I think they've got a challenge with their own trust. But with us, we don't seem to have a problem. But the only challenge is that we feel that our trust is being marginalized, is not being given the status that it deserves.
One of the issues that you brought to attention is this 1 billion rand project.
Yeah.
And you're saying to us, you have indicated that one, procurement is not kosher. Secondly, the skill transfer has not been done. You also said to us, issues around incubations, because most of your projects, personally, or your businesses have not matured enough. Hence, you wanted to the introduction of incubator. Why have these issues that you adequately put before us have not been addressed, and what could have been a challenge?
That's a million-dollar question, I think, NUPATAM can be able to articulate on, because we have raised these issues with them, and it is not now. Remember, I said it is about 20 years now that they were doing business, you know, with us, being marginalized like that. You know, this Anglo Platinum, it feels like, you know, a big, big, a giant elephant, actually, whereby it does as it wishes at any time. You know, we have tried to give them, you know, to come up with suggestions, you know, to say how best can we address these issues, how, you know, giving our inputs to that effect. But we seem to be, you know, talking to deaf ears, because, you know, they will give you an ear as and when they are with you. But immediately after that meeting, after that session, then nothing will ever suffice from, you know, your utterances and everything. Then that is where we feel that, you know what, we want to give it, you know, a little push, because we feel that we have been marginalized for long. We have been treated like persona non grata, voiceless, faceless. We feel useless before their eyes, even though we know our worth. Because if ever it wasn't through us, they wouldn't be here doing that kind of business. So we thought maybe by us having, you know, interacted with them, having given them spaces to operate in other areas like your Mohalakwe and your Dubati, they are mining minerals there, taking those minerals, you know, to other areas to benefit those areas. How do you feel, you know, undermining a community to such an extent that you don't even feel anything, you know, when doing wrong, you feel like, you know, everything is well. It can be. It can be.
Give us a sense of your formation as an activist, your umbrella, as you obviously lobby different stakeholders. Put us in your confidence as to who you are as a lobbying group, who is represented in your lobbying group, so that we get a fuller picture of who you are in terms of the interest that you are trying to push on behalf of the community.
As I have already alluded in the past, but previously, that we come from different formations. So with us, as Rebuile Trust, we are not a mining community. We only gave Anglo Platinum land to erect a smelter, to build a smelter. So we don't have a chief in our area. We do have professionals, yes, amongst us. Our advocate, our attorney, is one of our own, who happens to be Floyd Lohodi. Then we have got our accountants, one of them being Joas Lohodi, who is dealing with finances and stuff. So we are not a big community like Mohalakwena, Tukenhem, Dubatsi. We are a small community, but we have got everything, actually. Then our entity is being led by trustees. As I have already said, that it's a trust. One of the trustees is the old man that day, Tommy Lohodi. Then we have got the likes of Ndate Mokaka Lohodi, Ndate Hanyahu William, Ndate Michael Lohodi. Then those are the founders of this trust. Then we have got a liaison committee, which serves as a link between Anglo Platinum and the community. It represents us in meetings, because not everyone can be able to attend those meetings. As I am saying, it has been now about 3 months that Anglo Platinum was not interacting with our liaison committee. Even our liaison committee, as and when they got meetings with Anglo Platinum, you can just feel that, you know, these guys doesn't have, you know, our interests at heart. They will be just, you know, noting down issues. Theirs is to note down, but implementation.
I think that feedback, that insight is quite useful in shaping and really appreciating where you come from, the kinds of frustration that you're experiencing. If I may assess your issues, is that ownership is an issue from where you're sitting. Issues around procurement in the main, that procurement does not favor the local. But what other elements of the mining charter do you find problematic? For an example, employment equity, beneficiation, human resource development, mine community development and housing, and living conditions. So I'm just giving you the list of what the charter dictates. And obviously, we may not assume everything is horribly wrong, There are elements that are positive, but I also want us to have a fair and balanced approach in our conversation so that we're able to weigh and appreciate where you're coming from. Procurement always is an issue. What about employment equity? What about beneficiation? What about human resource development? Which of these do you think, you know, the Anglo Platinum has not addressed adequately?
You know, Nimrod, if ever I was able to finish you with the report, the last report that was presented to us, you'll be shocked to realize that in respect of all mining charter aspects, nothing, zero, 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 zero reflects on their report. You know, it is unbelievable, I know and I understand. We are not taken serious. Imagine if you are the landlord. The next thing, your tenant will be asking you, who are you? Where are you, you know, located? Every time you go to the meetings, they'll be saying to you, explain to us your formation. Actually, who are you? How are you? In order for us to reach you, how are we supposed to do that? How are we going to maneuver, you know, in reaching you? Then it's terrible. It's terrible. I've got a report that they have presented to us.
On that note, could you just hold a second? Let's take another quick break. We'll come back in a second because I could feel things are really heating up on your end. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance, and this is your host, Nimrod Bennett. I am joined by Lesetsha Lekgodi. Unfortunately, Elton's line was terrible, so we could not proceed with that. Nevertheless, we're really getting good insight from the community leader about the plight of his community in relation to all the legs of the mining charter. Before we went to the break, Dr. Lekgodi, you said to us, now you have received the report, and the report have scored 000, as you put it.
Yes.
How is it possible that a big organization like that will not account, demonstrate any movement on all this element? How is it possible?
I think, you know, they were with us so that maybe you can ask them that question. Maybe they could be in a good position to, you know, to respond to that, because in our interactions, I was the one who requested that they give us a report, a five-year report, whereby they can assure us what they have done to our community in the past 5 years, not in the past 20 years, you know, just to make things simpler for them, in the past 5 years. So it was terrible, you know, having that report that our areas where our beneficiaries are situated have indeed benefited nothing. You know, just to give you even a scenario, you know, during COVID-19 pandemic, there were food parcels which were distributed amongst communities. Anglo Platinum didn't even bother prioritizing one of their own, the landlords, the Rebuye Trust, their community, was never given any handouts during that period. And to our surprise, there are, you know, surrounding communities whom have benefits from other schemes through their land restitution program, land reclaims. So those people benefited. Imagine I'm in Ward 32, just to give an example. I'm in Ward 32. These guys, they come, they give Ward 31, they give Ward 29, they give, with exclusion of the community that is, you know, accommodating them. So sometimes it makes us wonder how these people come to this kind of an arrangement. Because as I've already said that, we have got this poor unit within, or poor desk within Anglo called social performance. Those guys are frustrating our communities because they are the ones who must give direction in terms of development.
If I may come in, Dr. Lesetsha, your trustees as the representative body, which has the best interest of the community at heart, when you're saying to me there has not been any progress whatsoever, how is it that the governing body, that which was put in place to represent the interest of your community, and yet you're saying to us your community has not benefited anything? There's never been any contribution during and after COVID. Your neighboring communities are deriving benefits. It just does not make sense. Could you just maybe clarify that? How is it possible that your trustees aren't aware or are allowing such things to happen under their nose.
As you can hear that we are taking it to the street, we have tried every little trick in the way. We wrote emails, we wrote letters, we have meetings with them, physical contact meetings with them. You know, we just, you know, seem like, you know, we are in talk shows whereby you talk. It seems as if they listen, but at the end of the day, nothing will happen. The very same things that you have cautioned them about, those are the ones which they are going to do. If you can say, no, let's not go left, we go right, that's when they'll go left.
Can I just want to come back? Let me take a step back.
Yes.
I want to give us a sense of what has been the limitation of the trust. Does the trust know its job, or the trust is just being undermined? Because it cannot be that you have a legally representative structure and yet there's so many mayhem happening around them. In my mind, they could either be that they don't know what they're doing, or they're simply not being taken seriously. Which one of these, in your view? And if they are being taken for right, what have they done? Why is it that the community are up in arms when the trust sitting there and doing nothing?
As I have said, that we have tried every little trick in the book. Our trustees are frustrated, actually. And right now, we are just, you know, weighing options, legal options, as to how best can we terminate this lease with them, because they are in breach, actually, in many ways than one. Whatever we have agreed upon within the lease agreement, none of them has been implemented this far. We are weighing options as to how best can we do that, I think not very long we'll come up with something concrete.
Could you just maybe also give me an example when you're saying the lease, what are the items in your lease agreement which you say none of them have been implemented? Just can you just cite a few examples in your lease agreement which you're claiming that none of them has taken place?
Let's start with the lease agreement itself. It was due for review a long time ago. Every time we go to meetings with them, we are being taken, you know, from pillar to post. The issue of rental value, the rental amount, was supposed to be long reviewed. But so far, I'm still talking about a 4,300 rental amount which is being given to us, which is even less than, or it is not even tantamount to them, the value of renting a four-bedroomed RDP house in Polokwane. Right now, if you can go to Polokwane and look for an RDP house, you might get it for about 4.5, if I'm not mistaken. So imagine 700 and something hectares of land with that little amount. The issue of employment, our people are not given preference, you know, when coming to those opportunities. We talk about the issue again of bazaars. Our kids are not given any opportunity when coming to that. We always hear of people coming from other areas as far as KZN coming here to benefit. I've already spoken about the issue of skills transfer and development. Nothing at all did come from. So that's why I'm saying we are weighing options. We are still, you know, consulting legally as to how best can we terminate this lease, because it didn't work for us.
Thank you very much for that in-depth insight, Dr. Nkhodi. Let's go. We're gonna just take a last quick break. We're gravitating towards the end of a very interesting conversation that we're having with you. Let's take a break. We'll break in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. We are literally on the last lap of a very interesting conversation. I'm joined by Dr. Lesetsa Nkhodi, who is a community leader, vouching for, arguing for better treatment of his community by the mining giant in the Limpopo area. Before we took that break, you were saying one of the issues that is of concern to you is that the lease agreement has not been reviewed. The amount that has been paid has not changed in 20 years. Issues of employment preferences. Employment does not cater for your local folks. You're saying issues such as bursaries as well as skills transfers are at the heart of your contention. So what is the way forward? What is the middle ground? Have you ever exploited mediation route, reconciliation route? And you said to us you are weighing your option, you know, obviously legal route. Take us through, if possible, can anybody broker peace, reconciliation between yourself and the mining company so that you're able to address these issues amicably?
I think through that we have not done that much. Hence now we have decided to engage even the GMR, because I think those are the ones regulating the operations of these mining institutions. So we have engaged them. We'll see how far they can go in assisting us, because I think it's about time that, you know, 20 years is quite a lot, a long period. So we have engaged them, and then we gave them our issues. So we'll see what will unfold. And if it doesn't work for us, then the only way is just to go, you know, the legal route, you know, take them to court. Then maybe the court can give, you know, another version that maybe can be in our favor.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. Ndadolhodi, thank you very much for coming through. It has been beautiful to hear your views on a very intricate matter. Hopefully, the DMR intervention and any other stakeholders would knock some sense, and both parties will find a middle ground which will serve the interests of your community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. There you are. That was Ndati Nehodi, from community in Mkhwalakwena, a region in Limpopo. The thrust of our conversation was about the concerns about the disempowerment of mining communities in those areas. Their view is that the mining company, Anglo Platinum in particular, has not done well unto them in respect to all the elements of the mining charter. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. Hopefully, the parties will find each other and address those issues amicably. Thank you very much for listening. This is Nimrod Nesuda again. Shalom.
Beyond Governance was brought to you by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.